Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the PE Geek Podcast, episode number 65. And super excited because we have an interview with another phys ed teacher who has been doing some really exciting things with technology in their classroom in Carrie Bullis. How are you, Carrie?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Now, I'm really excited that you've been able to get on the show because you are doing some really, really cool things. And I think the best episodes we have are those with teachers, to be perfectly honest. And I want to start by saying, you know, whereabouts are you teaching at the moment and what sort of grade levels and so forth are you involved in?
Well, I teach in a smallish town in Iowa called Williamsburg, Iowa. It's about it's on the southeast corner of Iowa, and I teach in a building that is 7 through 12. Most of my day is teaching 9 through 12 grade, just personal wellness is what we call it, but just general physical education.
Cool. And so where did this whole idea of becoming a phys ed teacher happen for you? Can you think back to the time when you decided that this was a career choice?
Well, you know, it's never been, you know, kind of one of those things that I thought about doing. It actually, my freshman year of college, you have to take electives. Mm-hmm. And I think I just took so many like PE electives that one of the professors just assumed that I was a PE major. Mm-hmm. And he kind of, you know, every time I had to be like, yeah, I'm, you know, this is just an elective class, just, you know, gymnastics or whatever it was. And he eventually was just like, hey, maybe you need to really think about doing this. It's obviously something that you enjoy doing. And, you know, I thought about it and he was right. And, you know, obviously, you know, those are the classes that I kind of got drawn to. Mm-hmm. I was always in sports, but definitely not the most athletic. It was more of a social thing for me.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, that kind of what made me become, you know, a good teacher was that, you know, I wasn't always the most athletic, and, you know, I kind of can show people that you can be healthy and active and enjoy these things even if you don't, you know, you're not the top skill, you didn't play in college. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I have a very similar story as well. Like, small town is where I end up teaching, and the same, just sort of average at the, you know, vast majority of sports, not a standout in sort of any, but mm-hmm. I think that comes across. And I mean, phys ed's a really unique subject in many ways as well. Like, why do you think that, you know, you enjoy teaching it now? Is it, do you get to see that in students, this lifelong pursuit of phys ed, or is it some other sort of quality that you enjoy?
No, definitely. I mean, I think the biggest thing is just, you know, kind of turning around some of those kids that might have been turned off by, you know, physical education in general and, you know, all things sports. I don't teach a lot of sports. I teach a lot of just healthy, active lifestyle type of activities and a lot of outdoor education. I teach a lot of swimming, things like that. So, yeah, just being able to get kids active, even though it, you know, it doesn't have to be an organized team game, and to realize, you know, that this is for their health.
For sure. So, I mean, and it's more realistic too, because, you know, the team games are much, much shorter in our life cycle, but we tend to do these more lifestyle things for a bit longer. So that model, I think, is really quite powerful. And I mean, somewhere along the line, you've become interested in technology and the role that it can have for you. Where did that begin?
Well, my school became a one-to-one school. All kids have MacBooks. But, you know, kind of 6 months prior to that, we had a PE for Life grant, and some of my coworkers thought that it would be a good idea for us to get iPads for each one of the teachers. And I was kind of against it. You know, I was kind of like, well, we're going to get these computers in 6 months. We really don't need it. And now, I mean, I couldn't live without my iPad. And it just kind of grew from that. I mean, I was never the most technologically savvy person. But I just kind of grew to really enjoy it and see the benefits of it for my, you know, for my students and for me, just as far as efficiency as a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of where it began for me as well. Like, and I think a lot of teachers have that initial success with tech just from their own point of view. Like, you've got some cumbersome process and then all of a sudden you're able to make it a little bit easier with tech. It's a pretty big buy-in, I think. What about other stuff? I mean, knowing what I know about schools, probably not everyone was as quick to get on board, or is that mm-hmm. not something that happened in your school?
As far as teachers go?
Yeah, yeah. Did everyone relish it and jump on board into the iPad as quick as you did?
Not at all.
Yeah. It's pretty much everywhere.
Right. Yeah, I think more and more, less the iPad, more the computer. I was definitely, you know, I'm the one that carries the iPad around and uses it, you know, every class period. They definitely got more into the computer side of it over, you know, the last couple of years, and, just seeing Google Drive has, you know, kind of changed our lives as PE teachers, at least in my district.
For sure.
All the things that, you know, that we can do with it, and, you know, Google Forms and again, just the efficiency of it. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it sort of changes. Like, that's, I think, a really big entry point for lots of people is that efficiency stuff. And Google Drive seems to be, it was like a tipping point almost where that became quite popular and a lot of schools and districts signed up. And then all of a sudden there's a much more sort of acceptance of what these tools can provide. So you've mentioned how it began. Mm-hmm. At the moment, is there any sort of tools besides Google Drive that you know that you're enjoying and using in your practice at all?
Sure. I did a yoga unit. Mm-hmm. I've never actually been a yoga person. I was a gymnast, so it kind of came naturally to me, but the Yoga Studio app.
Oh my, how amazing is it?
It's so amazing. And, you know, just to be able to, the greatest thing is that you can set up your own kind of class.
Yeah.
You know, I can teach these certain poses, and then, you know, just with a couple of check marks here and there, it'll put on just those poses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was phenomenal for me.
I just love the fact that, you know, and you'd appreciate this too, in small schools, like, there isn't the maybe expertise of someone who you bring in to run something like yoga potentially. And
sure.
I mean, with like this, it's about $4 or $5 or around about that mark. You can have this amazing app, which is of equal standard to having, you know, an expert come in. And I found it to be really cool to be able to provide opportunities that my students wouldn't normally get, because I've got no idea where to begin with yoga. But because of the app, I mean, we've had units and classes where that's been a core focus. Did you find that your role changed during that, or were you able to sort of walk around and join in, or?
Oh, for sure. I mean, after teaching it, our classes are set up the way that they're a semester long. So I teach a unit, and then the next semester I teach it again. And so, you know, after teaching a whole unit of it, I became pretty good, you know, with it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really need the Yoga Studio app going, but like you said, being able to walk around and, you know, give feedback to those students, you know, it's invaluable. And being able to do the routine with the students, I think that shows a lot too. At least my students really enjoy that.
For sure. Like, I had the same similar situation using Fitness Blender and Pilates. Like, I had a lot of year 10 girls who said, you know, can we do some Pilates? And I've got no idea where to begin with this, but, you know, we'll do it. And we put Pilates up on the screen. And you can picture some 16, 17-year-olds sort of assembling. And the girls were really keen, but the boys were like, come on, Pilates? But because I wasn't, you know, I was in a similar situation to them, I could put myself in their shoes. I joined in with them, and it changed the whole dynamic, because they saw me as a learner like them, not the expert, not just there. And they eventually got really into it and would use Fitness Blender on their own. So I think that dynamic is quite attractive for those sort of expert tools like Yoga Studio.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, go.
I was going to say, I have to thank you because, you know, over the years I've listened to your podcast and, you know, you've talked about having that, you know, bringing somebody in, having it up on the big screen or something like that and being able to have a second teacher.
Yeah.
And it kind of, for me, it was nice to hear somebody else say that because at times you kind of think maybe I'm not being a very good teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm not actually teaching when, you know, someone's up there. And that was kind of the mindset that I had. And this before was for Zumba. And I mean, I would spend hours trying to come up with, you know, a 40-minute Zumba class.
Yeah.
And to be able to memorize all of those, you know, all of the routines and, you know, and then you're standing up there, you're not able to give feedback to those students mm-hmm. at all. So it definitely changed, you know, the way that I view it. And, you know, I am teaching, I'm being a better teacher by having the experts do it and, you know, not spending 4 hours every night trying to memorize these Zumba routines that I wasn't as good at as, you know, the people that were on the screen by any means. So mm-hmm. it was definitely better to have them up there.
For sure. I reckon you made a really good point about you are maybe even doubly more effective when you can do it this way. Cause like you said, the expert's taking the class, mm-hmm. but you're still really present. Like your role becomes even more powerful, doesn't it? Because you now one-on-one with people, you can be doing other things. I just think it's phenomenal, but you're right. There's a big mindset that we have to be at the front and we have to be the person delivering every single aspect of what we do mm-hmm. or we're cheating. And I know that when I went through university and college, this was the idea. And, I just over time realized that I can provide more opportunities when I think of it this other way. So I'm glad, you know, I really appreciate that. That's something you think of as well.
For sure.
Mm. So beyond the, Yoga Studio, you know, that's obviously a situation where things have gone really well. What about like me? I've had so many situations where maybe things haven't worked so well. Can you think of anything like that?
Well, I mean, of course there are so many, you know, just mistakes that are made with technology as far as not turning on the sharing settings correctly or, you know, forgetting to turn on a certain add-on that I was planning on using and it was going to make, you know, everything great and I forgot to turn it on. Mm-hmm. I can't really say that there's like one for sure moment that, you know, was a big mistake. I think just over the years, just learning to not use technology for technology's sake.
For sure.
You know, thinking that this is going to be so much better because it has technology in it or because, you know, it's the coolest new thing, but it's not actually helping to teach your students better.
Yeah. So you know, I think that's a lesson that a lot of people go through, like making sure that the why comes first. You know, why are you using it? What's the intended purpose rather than just because it's shiny object and new and exciting and I've been guilty of that before. I mean, mm-hmm. finding something and using it and thinking, oh, hang on reflection, that probably wasn't better than the original way I used to do it. But
right.
I think, yeah, it is something that I think we tend to have, you know, that tends to happen with teachers. But yeah, eventually that why is quite powerful. Now, I know you've had a lot of success with Fluberoo before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... you shared it in episode 50 of the Peer Geek podcast. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit about Fluberoo and sort of, you know, what that means to you and how you've used it in the past?
The first thing that I use Fluberoo for and that I still use it for is like skills evaluation in swimming.
Mm-hmm.
I always had my skills rubric kind of, I would print out all of these papers and, you know, I would do the check marks down, you know, down the rubric and then hand the rubric back to the students before they went into the locker room, it would get wet, or at least just show them so they would have the feedback. But really, they, you know, weren't able to analyze it as well as I wanted them to. So now I have it on my iPad. I have it in a Google form. I can easily just, you know, check off the things that the students need to work on. As soon as they go into the locker room, I run FluBrew, and then it sends it straight to their email or to their Google Drive. And, you know, before they even get out of the locker room from getting changed, they have that feedback on their computer that they can go and, you know, look at it and hopefully, you know, analyze it and see the things that, you know, they need to improve on before they get back the next day.
It's just an incredible workflow thing, isn't it? Like, you mentioned,
oh, it's amazing.
People lose things. Like, that's real. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
But this is impossible for that to sort of take place. So assessment type data, is that the sort of stuff you're capturing with the Google Form?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, just formative assessment, summative assessments at the end of, you know, at the end of certain units, we, depending on, you know, what outcome we're trying to reach, you know, the students will have their computer out doing just, you know, a normal quiz. Mm-hmm. And then being able to grade it at the end using FluBrew. And I think FluBrew was definitely a hook for a lot of my coworkers as well, because it's so easy, so simple. You're giving that feedback right away when the kids need it. You know, not waiting until the weekend when you have time to grade it, or, you know, and by that time you're on to something new. You know, this is almost instant feedback that the kids can go and, you know, work on right away.
Yeah. I mean, I struggle with that whole, back in the day before we had a lot of these tools, the whole waiting to the weekend and then correcting something and then heading back into class, and the context lost, isn't it? Like,
it is.
You know, mm-hmm. here you are giving them results for something that happened a week prior. I mean, it's not really effective feedback. So that's why I love these tools. And FluBrew, you mentioned, was a really big hook. I'm assuming that other faculties and schools in the school, sorry, areas in the school are using it as well?
Oh, yeah. I not as many as should. Mm. I mean, sometimes I'll go in and see somebody grading a multiple choice test, and I'm going, what are you doing? I mean, it's amazing to me that, you know, they've all heard about it. They all know about it. We have great technology PD in our district, and I guess they just kind of choose not to use it. And but over the years, I think most people have gotten on the bandwagon of FluBrew.
For sure, and it's. And it becomes like the more and more people that do hop on the bandwagon, it sort of brings along more and more people, doesn't it? It's like this big mm-hmm. tipping point. Like it's easy to be on the side of not trying these tools when only a handful of people are using them. But I've seen time and time again that as soon as you get one or two key people in, then things start to snowball, and you know, the benefit is quite large. So I'm sure maybe you'll see that as well.
I think people think it's too hard to use when yeah. in reality, you know, anyone can use it.
Yeah, I agree. These tools really do have an impact. And if you're sort of sitting here wondering what Google Forms are and you haven't played around with them, then head along and check out episode 49, which talks about them. And there's lots of references to how to set up a form and the sort of add-ons, because we've just touched the surface on add-ons, really, haven't
oh,
we?
Yeah.
And they, oh, all yeah. these things really do give back time to things that we assume take forever. Mm-hmm. And then I think the key here is that now you probably get to spend more time on what really matters, like the one-on-one feedback becomes more relevant, but then you can maybe spend more time getting organized on a cool new lesson. Or have you found that it's brought
right, the planning?
Exactly. Like a lot of people get caught up in these admin tasks and then they just keep doing the same things in their PE practice because they haven't had time to maybe think about how it could be changed or modified. Or so it does impact on a wider scale than just the initial. So I love that. I love that about technology. So as we get towards the end of the episode, where can people find out a little bit more about you and the stuff that you're doing?
Well, I am on Twitter, so at Bullis Carey, and I'm on Voxer. On Voxer, probably more than Twitter, but you can catch me on both. I think my Voxer handle is KBULLI393.
So I mean, there's always talk about Voxer in our guest interviews, and do you just want to talk a little bit about how it works? Because there's lots of people listening that maybe have heard it, but probably haven't jumped into it just yet.
Voxer is a, you know, essentially a walkie-talkie app that if you go to voxerpe.com, you will see that there are a number of different kind of subgroups. There's one big general PE chat, but there's lots of different groups depending on, you know, what you're interested in. I'm in a secondary PE group where, you know, it's basically just secondary PE teachers. We go there to share successes, to ask questions, to reflect on our day, things like that. It's definitely a great place to get, you know, any of your questions answered. People are always willing to help, but you leave a message and then you kind of just wait for someone to respond. And usually within, you know, an hour or, you know, by the next day, you'll definitely have a couple of responses to your question.
Yeah, it's sort of like akin to a virtual staff room, isn't it? Like,
it is.
The chatter of, and I mean, a lot of people could, you know, think that they might get lost in it, but because of the fact that they are sort of structured chats and themed around topics, you can get into the topics that really are interested, that you have an interest in. And I found it to be really valuable. And the fact that it's voice, it just makes it so much more deeper and real. So yeah, head along to Voxer PE if you're listening and want to know more, and you can connect with all of the amazing phys ed teachers that are present. So thank you. On that note, we'll leave it there. I really appreciate you taking time to come on and share with us today, and hopefully we can speak again soon.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. See ya.
All right.